Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the beginning, it is a joy to bring greetings of love and God's peace from those children of God from our home congregation there in Williston, North Dakota, there on the prairies where the wind often blows, and we can see the whole sky at once. So many loving greetings from our home congregation there in Williston. For this afternoon's special children's service, it's a joy to see all of you kids here sitting in the front and towards the front. There's many things you could be doing right now, but it is a joy that you have come to listen to God's word here in the service tent. Perhaps your parents have brought you here and told you that you should go sit up in the front. And that's good that they have told you that. It's good to come into the hearing of God's word, to listen to what Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, has to teach to us. And for the beginning of this service, I thought that we could pray. There's a song that I was looking at beforehand that I thought was a nice prayer. And it's song number 429. And it's a prayer that we as parents often have for our children. And it says it, the first verse says in this way, that gracious God, we pray to you, shepherd all our children. We are foolish, slow of heart. Father, you must lead them. Carry our beloved young. Keep their hearts from evil. May a guardian angel be with them as they travel. And that is our prayer before we begin this service. And in Jesus' name, we will read one verse from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 16. Perhaps you children have heard a speaker or in Sunday school, tell about this story. And we'll read just this one verse. We'll keep it short and sweet. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Amen. So, when we read this short verse, you might wonder, who is he? When it says, he took them up in his arms, I bet some of you kids would know who this is talking about. Who is he? We could read a little bit earlier in the verses before, and we would know what this verse is talking about, or who he is. It says, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. So Jesus was displeased. What's another word for displeased? He wasn't happy, was he? Why wasn't Jesus happy? Well, we can read from the verse before that, and we can find out why Jesus wasn't happy. It says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Jesus was not happy that the disciples, we remember that Jesus had disciples, right? They were those men that followed Jesus around and he taught them. They had Sunday school for almost, I think, 3 years straight. They were following Jesus and they were learning from the best teacher that there could ever be. And they were following him around. And these disciples, these men, they began to think that perhaps, you know, they were a little special. And in those times, in those days, the little children had a little bit of a lower position in society. Perhaps they weren't looked on as being so important. But those moms and dads that were around Jesus, what did they want to do? They wanted to bring their children to Jesus, just like your parents wanted to bring you here to the services. Isn't that, dear boys and girls, the most important thing in our life? That mom and dad would want to bring you to church. Why is it so important? Isn't it so important that we come to church so we can hear the Word of God, right? So we can hear that our sins are forgiven. And so that we can learn about the way and the journey. We can learn what God has to teach us. And this Bible here, this is God's Word. And in this Bible, there are so many answers, all of life's answers to, all of the answers to life's questions. So many things that we can learn from the Word of God. And when you can come to services, you can hear what the speaker brother, what sort of words God gives to the speaker brother to teach to you. And so these parents had brought their little children to Jesus, and they wanted him to bless their children. But these older men, these disciples, they said, no, push them away. We don't want them to be near Jesus. And Jesus, when he saw that, he was not very happy. He said, no. He said, in this 15th verse, we'll start with the 14th. He said, when he was much displeased, and he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me. And the word suffer means to let. Let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You little children here, and especially those very little ones, maybe even the ones that can't even talk yet, of such is the kingdom of heaven. So, what a beautiful picture that our Lord and Savior, our Master and perfect teacher gives to us. He elevates this innocent, the little child, you children who oftentimes find it hard to even sit through one service. Well, it's not even you little children. Oftentimes it's us adults as well. We get impatient, we get squirmy, we want to move around, and it's hard to even like listen to one full sermon. But Jesus said, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven." And then he continues and he says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." What does this mean? Doesn't it mean that we simply have to believe? We have heard over and over again how this faith is not a complicated faith. We don't have to memorize this Bible. I don't think any of us would even make it to heaven. Back during the Old Testament times, perhaps not the Old Testament, but during this time when Jesus lived, there were some of those men, some of those Pharisees who memorized some of the Bible, the whole Bible perhaps, which was the Old Testament during that time. But did they make it to heaven because they memorized the Bible? No. Jesus says that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Us adults, sometimes we make believing so complicated. We begin to think with our minds that, can I really have my sins really forgiven? But what does God say? God says that even those sins, that every last sin, every little sin, when you hear that your sin is forgiven, they are washed away in the sea of grace, and there is nothing that can retrieve them. Nothing that can dip out those old sins that are buried deep in that, the deepest lake you can ever think of. You know, the ocean, I think the deepest point is in the Mariana Trench. And some 7 miles deep? Those sins that are forgiven, they're at the bottom of that trench, even deeper than that. What a beautiful message that is. That all we have to do is believe, our sins forgiven. And then we come to this 16th verse that we read, and it says that, "And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them." Have you ever felt like you've done something wrong, and then you've been hesitant or reluctant? You've thought, "Oh, I can't get that forgiven. It's too big of a sin." Or maybe you've thought, "Well, that's such a small sin that I don't need to ask to have that one forgiven." But if it's bothering you, isn't it good that we can ask mom or dad, or maybe your brother or sister, that, "Will you bless me?" That this is bothering me, and I want to hear it forgiven. I remember clearly being a youth, maybe even younger, there was something bothering my conscience. I don't remember what it was, but I remember that feeling, and I remember going into my mother and father's room in the middle of the night and asking if my sins could be forgiven. What did my mom and dad say? Did they push me away like the disciples wanted to push those little children away? No. They happily preached the gospel. And even now, dear boys and girls, and we are all boys and girls in God's kingdom, aren't we? You can all uplift your heart. You can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Just think, every last sin can be believed forgiven, even through the general proclamation of the gospel. Where else in the world, dear boys and girls, can we have such peace? And what does God promise? He promises peace, doesn't he? When we hear that our sins are forgiven, don't we feel such a beautiful peace, a peace of conscience, and we know that we don't have to worry. If today would be my last day, and we have heard and we have seen how God has powerfully reminded us how short life is. And I know you boys and girls think, because I remember thinking when I was your age, that this life, that there is a long life ahead of me. But this life is so short, even for those grandma and grandpas, which I have to include myself now as a grandpa. I don't feel like I'm a grandpa, but I have two little grandkids and they're such a joy. But even if your grandma and grandpa live to 100 years old or longer, that's such a short time when you think of eternity. When we believe our sins forgiven and die believing, we get to spend eternity forever and ever. We can't really grasp with our mind how long that is. It's too hard for our human mind to even think about. But we get to spend forever and ever where it is completely perfect. Have you ever been anywhere that's completely perfect? Sometimes when we're at camp, youth camp, confirmation camps, and now after these services, I have the joy of being able to spend time at a choir camp, and that I can't wait until I get to spend time there. But sometime at camps, it feels like we could almost be in heaven. But just think, heaven will be perfect, and it'll be forever and ever. And what does the Bible say? It says that you will never cry, not even one tear in heaven. It says Jesus, God, will wipe away all their tears. What a fortunate position we have as a child of God. And we can be so thankful for this great gift of faith. In the beginning, when I started speaking, I said grace, mercy, and peace. And sometimes I've even wondered, why do we start sermons with that type of a introduction or beginning? That what is grace? What is mercy? And what is peace? Isn't grace something that you get for even though you don't deserve it? And we as believers, we have not deserved to be in this kingdom of God, do we? Because we are so sinful. But God's grace is so abundant that He has given us this free gift. And we have this faith, and we're able to believe our sins forgiven. And again, dear boys and girls, and brothers and sisters, all you mom and dads out there, even now, again, you have permission to lift up your heart and believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Believe unto peace, freedom, and joy. And I've come with so many doubts and so much impatience even, and so many fears that I ask, would you bless me as well? What a wonderful kingdom this is. And we say, in Jesus' name, amen.